Medical Terminology. Introduction. As an EMT, it is essential that you have a strong working knowledge of medical terminology. Understanding key terms, acronyms, symbols, and abbreviations is important for effective communication and documentation. Understanding how terms are formed and the definitions for the various parts of a medical term will help you determine the meaning of an unknown term by breaking the word apart. Once you understand medical jargon, you will be able to communicate effectively with other members of the EMS, healthcare, and public safety teams. Anatomy of a medical term. Medical terms are made of distinct parts that perform specific functions. Changing or deleting any of those parts can significantly change the function or meaning of a word. Components that comprise medical terms include the word root, the foundation of the word, prefix, what occurs before the root word, suffix, what occurs after the root word, combining vowels, vowels that join one or more word roots to other components of a term. How the parts of a term are combined determines its meaning. Accurate spelling, especially when some words are pronounced almost the same way, is essential in medical terminology. For example, the suffix phasia means speaking, whereas phasia means eating or swallowing. The prefix dys means difficult or painful. Combining those two parts, dysphagia means difficulty speaking, while dysphagia means difficulty eating or swallowing. These are very different terms, and the two words, although spelled differently, sound almost identical. Likewise, the terms ilium and ileum are pronounced exactly the same, but refer to different anatomic parts. The ilium is the largest bone of the pelvis, and the ileum is the last part of the small intestine. Knowing anatomy and the context of how these words are used will help you correctly determine and spell the term in a given situation. Word roots. The main part or stem of a word is called a word root. Some books use the term word root, others use root word. The terms are synonymous. A word root conveys the essential meaning of the word and frequently indicates a body part. Most terms have at least one word root, and some have more than one word root. Adding a prefix or suffix to the word root creates a term. Changing the prefix or suffix will change the meaning of the term. A frequently used medical term is CPR, which stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Cardiopulmonary breaks down as follows. Cardio is a word root meaning heart, and pulmon is a word root meaning lungs. By performing CPR, you introduce air into the lungs and circulate blood by compressing the heart to resuscitate the patient. Some word roots may also be used as prefixes or suffixes for other terms. Combining forms are discussed later in the chapter. Prefixes. A prefix is the part of a term that appears at the beginning of a word. It generally describes location and intensity. Prefixes are frequently found in general languages. That is, autopilot, submarine, tricycle, as well as in medical and scientific terminology. Not all medical terms have prefixes. A prefix gives the word root a specific meaning. When a medical word contains a prefix, the meaning of the word is altered. For example, hypnea is the word root for breathing. Adding the prefix a, without, brady, slow, or tachy, rapid, to a word creates three very different terms. Apnea, without breathing. Bradypnea, slow breathing. Tachypnea, rapid breathing. By learning to recognize a few of the more commonly used medical prefixes, you can figure out the meaning of terms that may not be immediately familiar to you. Suffixes. Suffixes are placed at the end of words and usually indicate a procedure, condition, disease, or part of speech. A commonly used suffix is itis, which means inflammation. When this suffix is paired with the root word arthra, meaning joint, the resulting word is arthritis, an inflammation of the joints. Combining vowels. A combining vowel is the part of a term that connects a word root to a suffix or other word root. In most cases, the combining vowel is an O. However, it may also be an I or an E. A combining vowel is usually used when joining a suffix that begins with a consonant or when joining another word root. For example, take the term gastroenterology, the study of diseases of the stomach and small intestines. Gastro plus entero plus logi. Stomach plus small intestines plus the study of. In this term, gastra and enter are both word roots. Logi is the suffix, and O is the combining vowel, used twice. The combining vowel helps ease the pronunciation of the term. Without the vowel, the term would be rather difficult to pronounce. Gastroenterology. A combining vowel with a word root is called a combining form. Here are a few of the most common combining forms you will see. Cardio, heart, gastro, stomach, hepato, liver, arthro, joint, osteo, bone, pulmono, lungs. Word building rules. When building or taking apart a medical term, it is helpful to understand some basic rules. The following summarizes the rules covered thus far. 1. The prefix is always at the beginning of a term. However, not all terms will have a prefix. 2. The suffix is always at the end of the term. 3. When a suffix begins with a consonant, a combining vowel is used between the word root and suffix to make pronunciation easier. 4. When a term has more than one word root, a combining vowel must be placed between the two word roots, even if the second root begins with a vowel. Plural endings. To change a term from a singular to plural form, certain rules apply. In some cases, you simply add s to the word. Lung becomes lungs. However, for some medical terms, making the plural form is more complicated. Rules you may encounter when converting terms from singular to plural are: 1. Singular words that end in a change to a when plural. Example, vertebra becomes vertebrae. 2. Singular words that end in is change to s when plural. Example, diagnosis becomes diagnoses. 3. Singular words that end in x or ix change to ices. Example, apex becomes apices. 4. Singular words that end in on or change to Examples, ganglion becomes ganglia, ovum becomes ova. 5. Singular words that end in us change to I. Example, bronchus becomes bronchi. Special word parts. As already described, prefixes appear at the beginning of a word, before the word root. Prefixes used to indicate numbers, colors, and directions are described as follows. Look at the prefixes, meanings, and examples. Can you think of other terms using the same prefix with another root? Do you see how it changes the meaning? Numbers. Several prefixes are used to indicate if a term involves a number, such as half, one, or two, or more parts of sides. Colors. Several word roots are used to describe color. Positions and directions. Prefixes can also be used to describe a position, direction, or location. Common direction, movement, and position terms. Directional terms. When discussing where an injury is located or how pain radiates in the body, you need to know the correct directional terms used in medicine. Notice how directional terms are paired as opposites. Right and left. The terms right and left refer to the patient's right and left sides, not to your right and left sides. Superior and inferior. The superior part of the body, or any body part, is the portion nearer to the head from a specific reference point. The part nearer to the feet is the inferior portion. These terms are also used to describe the relationship of one structure to another. For example, the knee is superior to the foot and inferior to the pelvis. Lateral and medial. Parts of the body that lie further from the midline are called lateral or outer structures. The parts that lie closer to the midline are called medial or inner structures. For example, the thigh has medial or inner and lateral or outer surfaces. In general terms, lateral means side. For example, lying on the left side is called left lateral recumbent. Something that occurs on both sides is referred to as bilateral. When describing the location of an injury, the terms medial and lateral help pinpoint an exact location. For example, the patient has a 2-inch or 5-centimeter laceration on the medial aspect of the thigh, toward the inside. Proximal and distal. The terms proximal and distal are used to describe the relationship of any two structures on an extremity. Proximal describes structures that are closer to the trunk. Distal describes structures that are farther from the trunk or nearer to the free end of the extremity. For example, the elbow is distal to the shoulder and proximal to the wrist and hand. Superficial and deep. Superficial means closer to or on the skin. Deep means farther inside the body or tissue and away from the skin. For example, a superficial burn involves only the top layer of skin, similar to a sunburn. An abrasion is a superficial wound, similar to scraping your knee, whereas a deep laceration involves a cut deeper into the tissue, such as with a knife. Ventral and dorsal. Ventral refers to the belly side of the body, or the anterior surface of the body. Dorsal refers to the spinal side of the body, or the posterior surface of the body, including the back of the hand. These terms are used less frequently than the terms dorsal, the front surface of the body, and posterior, the back surface of the body. An easy way to remember dorsal is to think of the dorsal fin on a dolphin, which is on its back, posterior side. Palmar and plantar. The front region of the hand is referred to as the palm or palmar surface. The bottom of the foot is referred to as the plantar surface. Apex. The apex, plural apices, is the tip of a structure. For example, the apex of the heart is the bottom, inferior portion of the ventricles in the left side of the chest. Movement terms. The following terms relate to movement. Flexion is the bending of a joint. Extension is the straightening of a joint. Adduction is motion toward the midline. Abduction is motion away from the midline. Other direction terms. Many structures of the body occur bilaterally. A body part that appears on both sides of the midline is bilateral. For example, the eyes, ears, hands, and feet are bilateral structures, meaning there is one on each side of the midline. This is also true for structures inside the body, such as the lungs and kidneys. Something that appears only on one side of the body is said to occur unilaterally. For example, unilateral chest expansion means that only one lung is expanding with inhalation, such as with a pneumothorax. Pain that occurs on only one side of the body could be called unilateral pain. As part of the assessment process, you will palpate the abdomen and report findings. Therefore, it is important that you are able to describe the exact location of areas of the abdomen. The way to describe the sections of the abdominal cavity is by quadrants. Imagine two lines intersecting at the umbilicus, dividing the abdomen into four equal areas. These are referred to as the right upper quadrant, left upper quadrant, right lower quadrant, and left lower quadrant. Remember that here, too, right and left refer to the patient's right and left, not yours. It is important to learn all of these terms and concepts so you can describe the location of any injury or assessment findings. When you use these terms properly, any other medical personnel who care for the patient will know immediately where to look and what to expect. Anatomic positions. There are many terms used to describe the position of the patient upon your arrival or during transport to the emergency department. Prone and supine. These terms describe the position of the body. The body is in the prone position when lying face down. The body is in the supine position when lying face up. Fowler position. The Fowler position was named after a U.S. surgeon, George R. Fowler, M.D., at the end of the 19th century. Dr. Fowler placed his patients in a semi-reclining position with the head elevated to help them breathe easier and to control the airway. A patient who is sitting upright is therefore said to be in the Fowler position. Some refer to the semi-Fowler position as sitting with the back of the stretcher at a 45-degree angle and high Fowler position as sitting at a 90-degree angle. Breaking terms apart. Just as you use parts of terms to build new words, you can use knowledge of the meaning of parts to decipher the meaning of a term. When trying to define a term, begin with a suffix and work backward. If the term also contains a prefix, define the suffix, then the prefix, and then the word root. Here are some examples. Nephropathy. Nephropathy. Pathy, suffix meaning disease, o, combining form, nephra, word root meaning kidney. Nephropathy equals disease of the kidney. Dysuria. Dysuria. Ia, suffix meaning condition of. Dys, prefix meaning difficult, painful, or abnormal. Ure, word root meaning urine. Dysuria equals painful urination, pain when urinating, or difficulty urinating. Hyperemesis. Hyperemesis. Hyper, prefix meaning excessive. Emesis, word root meaning vomiting. Hyperemesis equals excessive vomiting. analgesic, analgesic, ic, suffix meaning pertaining to, an, prefix meaning without or absence of, alges, word root meaning pain, analgesic equals pertaining to no pain. Abbreviations, acronyms, and symbols. Medical abbreviations, acronyms, and symbols are a type of shorthand used to communicate in the medical world. They came about for the same reason that people send text messages and tweets using text shorthand. You can communicate faster using this method. It is important, however, not to trade speed for accuracy. Use only commonly understood acronyms and abbreviations to minimize misinterpretations and errors. The Joint Commission and the Institute for Safe Medication Practices are considered two authorities on abbreviations. Both organizations provide do-not-use lists identifying abbreviations that lead to errors. There is a slight difference in meaning between abbreviations and acronyms. When you shorten a word using an abbreviation, you pronounce each letter of the abbreviation separately and distinctly. For example, emergency medical technician is abbreviated to EMT. When you use an acronym, you are shortening several words, usually using the first letter of each word to make the acronym. Acronyms are pronounced as their own word. For example, sample history is pronounced like the word sample, by reading the letters one by one. For example, EMS is pronounced E-M-S, or by a combination of the two. For example, DCAP-BTLS is pronounced D-CAP-BTLS, and the acronym for Urban Search and Rescue, USAR, is pronounced USAR. Misunderstanding and errors will occur if everyone involved in the emergency care of a patient does not understand the meaning of abbreviations or acronyms. For this reason, some agencies limit the use of abbreviations. Abbreviations. Abbreviations take the place of words to shorten notes or documentation. When using abbreviations on patient care reports, remember to use only standard, accepted abbreviations to avoid confusion and errors. See the tables at the end of this chapter for a list of commonly used abbreviations. This list is intended to help you decipher documents written by other healthcare professionals. Before using any abbreviations in your own reports, be familiar with accepted use of abbreviations in your local jurisdiction or service area. Symbols. Like abbreviations, symbols are sometimes used as a shortcut in communication and documentation. As with abbreviations, it is important to use only the symbols that are widely understood and accepted.